In this study, we're going to begin our look at prophecy within the book of Daniel. And for most people, it's this latter half of Daniel which is the most interesting and exciting to learn. So with that said, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Daniel and chapter 7. The book of Daniel and chapter 7. Now, from a chronological standpoint, we're moving back into time. We, in chapter 6, began the reign of Darius, and we said that the Babylonian rule had come to an end. But now we're going back to the first year of King Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. So we see that the book of Daniel is not perfectly chronologically written. That's not its purpose. But when we look at it, we see that there was division because now we're beginning prophecy. The Holy Spirit inspired Daniel to put all the prophecy in the latter half and those things which deal with principles and the basic things that we need to learn so that we might walk faithful in our conduct before God, they were recorded in the first half. So it says here, look with me to verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his head upon his bed. He wrote them down, that is the dream, and he told the major parts. Daniel began and he explained, I saw in my vision at night that behold the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Now, we see winds have to do with the world. Whenever we see the term the four winds, we're talking about something that impacts the greater part of the world. When we see the great sea is mentioned, we see that it's speaking about chaos. So what is going to happen here? As we move on to verse 3, we see four immense beasts that came up from the sea. Now, a beast, in a prophetic sense, is an earthly empire. And what they're trying to tell us here in these first few verses that open up chapter 7 is that there's going to be turmoil in the world. That's what the sea is about. There's going to be a disturbance, and the outcome of this chaos and turmoil is that the whole world is going to be impacted by these empires that surface at different times in our history. Now, notice what it says, again, verse 3. Four immense beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. I was watching, and its wings were plucked, and it was removed from the earth. It stood upon 2 feet like a man, and it was given a human heart. Now, most scholars see this lion as referring to the Babylonian Empire. Verse 5, then behold another beast, a second one, similar to a bear. It was placed on one side, and there were three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And this is what it said, arise, devour much flesh. Most people see this bear as relating to the Persian, the Medes and the Persian rule. Verse 6, after this I was watching, and behold, another, and the implication is another beast or another empire. This one was like a leopard with four bird's wings on its back. The beast had four heads, and it was given dominion. This beast that's called the leopard, most scholars see that this was the Greek Empire. Verse 7, and this is where it gets interesting. After this, I was watching in night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, exceedingly terrifying, awesome, and strong. It had immense iron teeth. It was devouring and crumbling and trampling with its feet what remained. It was different from all the beasts that had preceded it, and it had 10 horns. Now, let's stop for a moment. We see the order, chronologically speaking, of the Babylonians first, the Medes Persians second, the Greeks third. But this fourth beast, although we would glean from the period of time that we're talking about, it has to do with Rome. But what we're going to see here is that this is a resurrected Roman Empire, because Daniel's going to be speaking about this fourth beast, not literally during the time of the Roman Empire that took place over 2,000 years ago, but rather a resurrected Roman Empire that's going to be ruling the world and will be in place when the last days take place and Messiah returns and sets up his kingdom. Now, I'd like to read a little bit more in this seventh chapter before we get some assistance from the book of Revelation. So look with me, verse 7. It says again that this beast, this fourth beast, was exceedingly terrifying, awesome, and strong. We also want to see at the end of that seventh verse that it was different from all the empires that had preceded it, and it had 10 horns. Remember that as we move now into verse 8, and I, that is Daniel, was contemplating the horns. Behold, another horn, a small one, came up from among them, and the three of the previous horns were uprooted before. There were eyes like human eyes in this horn, and a mouth speaking blasphemous words. I watched as the thrones were set up, and the one of the ancient days sat, that is God. His garment was white as snow, his hair on his head like clean wool. His thrones were of flaming flames, and it had wheels of blazing fire. A stream of fire was flowing forth from before him, and thousands of thousands were serving him. And a myriad of myriads, that is 10,000s of 10,000s, were standing before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. So what we see here is that as this small horn comes up, displacing three rulers, he is going to rise to power, speaking blasphemous words, and it's going to be during his rule that the Ancient of Days, that is God, who is awesome, who is pure, who is holy, who is clean, who is all these things that is good, he is going to begin judgment. He is going to begin to rule, and from the book of Revelation standpoint, his throne is going to come to earth and displace this haughty, this blasphemous leader that's going to rule in the last days. Now, to get a better understanding of what we're looking at before we see Daniel's interpretation of it, I want us to turn now to the book of Revelation and chapter 17. The book of Revelation and chapter 17. Notice what it says. Now, this is a revelation, a vision, and it talks about a beast. And this beast that is spoken of is like a woman, and that is, it's going to lead the world into prostitution. And when I say prostitution, I'm talking about spiritual prostitution or idolatry. It says here, if you look at with me to verse 7, I want to begin. It says here, and the angel said to me, wherefore do you marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, notice the similarity that it has 10 horns exactly like what is said in Daniel. But instead of there being related to us 4 beasts or 4 empires, we see that there's really going to be 7. Now, what is the difference between these things? Very simply, we see in Daniel that Daniel begins his discussion with the Babylonian Empire. But the book of Revelation goes preceding that all the way back to the Egyptian captivity. What we're going to see, and this is vital to understand, is that these empires that the Revelation is speaking of and the book of Daniel is speaking of, they all have one thing in common, and that is that they persecuted the Jewish people. They were against God's plan to bless all the nations. And therefore, Daniel begins his prophecy from the beginning of his time and extends into the future. He sees the fourth beast, which is also the final beast. It's related to the Roman Empire. I said to you it's a resurrected Roman Empire, but we see in the book of Revelation some more specific information to help us understand what Daniel is speaking of. So we left off where it says in verse 7 that this beast had seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 8. The beast that was, or the beast that you saw, was and is not. Now that is a key piece of information because we're focusing on that fourth beast of Daniel. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that this fourth beast was and was not and then is again. And that's why we get the concept of a resurrected empire, an empire that came, died, but's going to come back again in the last days. Look again at verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now, notice it tells us in the book of Daniel that this beast, this fourth beast, at the end of verse 7, where it talks about the 10 horns, it says it was different from all the other beasts that preceded it. The difference is this, and we see this from what it says at the end of verse 8, where it says that it ascends from the bottomless pit. Now, all of these other empires were rooted in idolatry and sin. They certainly had an influx of satanic influence to them. But what is different about this final beast that is going to surface, that was and was not, and is going to rise again? It's going to rise out of the bottomless pit that is hell. It is going to be endowed with satanic power, and that identity, its identity, is going to be based in Satan himself. That's the key. And therefore, that's the reasons that it's different from every other beast or empire that surfaced. Notice what it says. We're back in verse 8. It says it's going to ascend from this bottomless pit, but it's going to go into perdition, that is destruction. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, the book of Revelation breaks people into two categories, those who dwell upon the earth and those who dwell in the heavens. And let me say that it has nothing to do where someone is physically located. Those who dwell upon the earth, they are the ones who are going to be misled in the last days. They are the ones who have no relationship with the God of the heavens. They are the ones that's going to be deceived by the influence of this very earthly, this very sensual, this very material empire that speaks to the desires of man's flesh. Where those who dwell in the heaven are going to be those individuals that have a covenant with God through Messiah. They are going to be people that have been endowed with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they're not going to be led away. They're going to see this evil beast, this empire that's going to surface in the last days. They are going to be able to discern its satanic origin. They are going to understand its blasphemous words, and therefore they are not going to be led astray by its deceit. Now, look again. We're still in verse 8. It says, the ones who are going to be deceived are the dwellers of the earth. They are going to wonder and marvel after this beast. These are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not, but yet is again. They're going to marvel over the fact, and it's going to become clearer in our upcoming studies, that this beast and the false prophet is going to be wounded, he is going to die, he's going to rise again, and is going to be seen as a degree of immortality. And people who have no thoughts of God, no thoughts of his truth, many of them are chasing after this immortality. They are afraid to live this world. They love this world. There is no desire for them within their hearts to go someplace else in the afterlife, because everything they've worked for, everything they hope for, is rooted in this age, where those who have been written, their names written in the book of life, our hope is not in this age or in the rule of this world, but rather in the coming ruler of this world, the one that's going to change everything and bring holiness and the throne of God to earth, and a righteous and a just rule based upon spiritual truth and the ability to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's our desire, and we're going to see that these two groups are going to come together, not in unity, but in war, and that's what this whole prophecy is about, this battle that's going to give rise between good and evil in the last days. Now, look, if you would, to verse 9 of Revelation 17. It says, and here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. Prophetically speaking, a mountain is a seat of government. So when it says, look again, verse 9, the seven heads which you saw, upon which the woman sits, are seven mountains, seven governments, seven empires. Notice what it tells us, it tells us in verse 10, there are seven kings or kingdoms or empires. It just helps us understand about these seven mountains, these seven seats of government, and it tells us five of these are fallen. Now, when the book of Revelation speaks of them, remember, John, in his book of Revelation, goes all the way back to the beginning, and therefore the first empire that's going to be mentioned is Egypt. The second one is going to be Assyria. It's going to be the third one, which is Babylon, that our prophecy in Daniel picks up with. The fourth one's going to be the Persians. Then the fifth one is going to be the Greeks. And that's why it says, look again, verse 10, five are fallen, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes, Persians, and the fifth one is the Greeks. All of those empires came and have gone. And that's why it says, five are fallen. One is. When John was writing this book, the one that was the Roman Empire. And it says, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. Notice what it says. And the beast, verse 11, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and he goes into perdition. So what we see here is this. John speaks about seven. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and the sixth is the Romans. It's going to be the Romans that come back in a resurrected empire that's going to be the sixth and the seventh. But we see here that Revelation tells us in a few different places that this one in the last days, this seventh one, which is the fourth one as well from the standpoint of Daniel, he is going to be wounded, he's going to die, but he's going to resurrect again, and he himself is going to be the eighth in the last days. So what we see here is that Rome was no more. It was going to come back into beginning, come back into power in the future. He is going to be wounded, and all the world is going to mourn, but he's going to rise again, and he's going to lead most of the world astray. Now, look again just a little bit more in Revelation. It says, back in verse 11, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but will receive power as kings 1 hour with the beasts." It tells us these have one mind, these kings, and they shall give their power and their strength unto the beasts, and they shall make war with the Lamb, that is Messiah, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and they are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. So this is what the book of Revelation teaches us about the proper way to understand what we're looking at in Daniel chapter 7. We see that the Lamb is going to rule, and at the end of verse 10, back now in Daniel 7, if you'll look there with me once more, we see that God is returning Messiah to us, and it's through him that he is going to rule and judge. Move with me now to verse 11 of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is speaking and he says, "I saw that after this, because of the sound of the blasphemous words which the horn spoke, I watched until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed, and he was consigned to a flame of fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, yet an extension of life was given unto them for a season and a time, that is a year and a half." This will become more clear momentarily. Read on into verse 13. Now, what we see in Daniel is a brief overview. Daniel just gets the general view of what's going on. In fact, if you look, it tells us in verse 1 of his prophecy in Daniel chapter 7 that he wrote down the dreams and the visions, and he's telling just the major parts, not all of it, just an overview. Now, look with me to verse 13 of the 7th chapter. This is the outcome of what we're going to see that this prophecy brings about. A transition. Verse 13, Daniel is still speaking and he says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a man came." Now, if you look at this very carefully, what it says here is not one like a man, but if you look at the Aramaic, it says, "Im Anane Shemaya Kevar Enosh." What that says is, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man came. And he came to the Ancient of Days. That is a term for God Almighty. It says, and they brought him, that is the heavenly host, brought the Son of Man before God, God himself. And notice what it says in verse 14. He, this is the Son of Man, Messiah, and all scholars, both Jewish and Christian, agree with this, that this Son of Man is indeed Messiah. It says in verse 14, and he was given dominion and honor and kingship so that all peoples, nations, and languages should worship him. Now, most of the translations, English translations from the standpoint of Judaism, make a big point and say it doesn't say worship, It simply says serves him. But what's interesting here, if you look at that word in the Aramaic for serve, it is the same word that we see in Daniel chapter 3, what the king was requiring everyone to do when they heard the sound of all types of instruments. They had to bow down. And what's interesting here is that in Daniel chapter 3, all the foremost translations from Judaism translates that word worship. But when we get to Daniel chapter 7, and it speaks of Messiah, you see, the problem that Judaism has today is that they want to say Messiah is simply a mere man. He is not God. He is a mediator. He is a king of kings, but we do not worship him. But scripturally speaking, from a New Covenant perspective and also from a Hebrew Bible perspective, that's not accurate. Messiah is none other than God with us. Therefore, he is worthy of all worship and praise and honor. And we see that being confirmed upon him scripturally in this section where it says he was given dominion and honor and kingship so that all peoples, nations, and languages should worship him. And we know we're speaking of Messiah because his dominion will be an everlasting dominion that will never perish, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. Now, that's what the truth of real Judaism is, that there is coming a Messiah. He is going to rule, and the Father, God the Father, is going to transfer all that he has upon the Son so that he sits upon the throne, and that's what we see in the book of Revelation. Remember, I shared with you that many, many, many times we see that phrase, the throne of God. And what we see in speaking of that throne, it's always in the singular, it's always the throne of the living God and the Lamb. They don't have each a throne, but in the book of Revelation, they have one throne. And we see how God is going to be worshipped, God the Father and God the Son, as one. Now, look, if you would, to verse 15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit became uneasy in its place, and the visions of my head bewildered me. I approached one of the standing ones, and I asked him for the truth concerning all of this. He spoke to me, making the interpretation of these matters known to me. Notice what he says, verse 17. These immense beasts, which are four kingdoms will arise from the earth, but the holy supreme ones will receive the kingship, and they will inherit the kingship forever and ever. So he says, Daniel, there's going to be empires that arise, but they are not going to be the final authority. They are going to rise up, and it's this fourth one that is going to bring about the transition with its defeat that is going to give kingship to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God Almighty. Verse 19, then he says, this is Daniel speaking, I desire to know more about the truth of this fourth beast, which was different from all of them, exceedingly terrifying, with the teeth of iron and claws of copper. It devoured and crumbled and trampled what remained with its feet. Now, what I want to say, and this kind of gives us an introduction to what we're going to see as we conclude our study of this book in Daniel chapter 12, is that this fourth beast of Daniel, which is really the seventh and the eighth of Revelation, which is a resurrected Roman Empire, which is the sixth empire that Revelation speaks of, and the fourth of Daniel. Hope we have that all clear. We see, and I want to refer to this again, there are seven kingdoms according to the book of Revelation. There are four according to Daniel but they're speaking about the same thing. Revelation begins with Egypt and Assyria. Then it moves to its third one, which is Babylon. This third one is Daniel's first. Then it moves to the Median Persians. This is the fourth one of Revelation, but it's the second one of Daniel. Then it moves to the Greeks, which is the fifth one of Revelation, and the third one of Daniel. These are the ones that John tells us have fallen in John's time. The sixth one is really the fourth one. And that is the one that's in place when John receives his prophecy. It's the sixth one in Revelation. It's the fourth one in Daniel. What it tells us is that there's going to be a seventh one. Now, this is the one that's going to be in the last days. And when we study properly the book of Revelation, we see that it's going to be based in the historical ancient Roman Empire. It is going to be resurrected, and it is going to take charge. Now, many people pointed out that Hitler, in his way of thinking, believed that he was the Third Empire. That's why he called himself the Third Reich, the Third Empire. And he saw a relationship between the Greeks and the Romans and himself as all being tied together. And there are some scholars which see Nazi Germany as the seventh one, a resurrected Roman Empire that's going to have its base in Europe and with a coalition of Arab leaders in the last days going to come together. It's going to be the seventh, and it's going to be shortly defeated or temporarily defeated until it comes back with greater power as in a resurrection, its leader, and it's going to rule and be the eighth as well. So it's a little bit confusing, but we need to see that the resurrected Roman Empire that is spoken of in the book of Revelation is that final beast that Daniel sees and he wants more information about. It's going to come up from the bottomless pit. It is going to be empowered with satanic deceit and satanic power in order to do just what it says in verse 19, to devour and crumble and trample that which remains. That is everything that opposes itself and is loyal to God. It wants to destroy. Now, notice how Daniel, and now I'm in verse 20 of the seventh chapter, he focuses in on, well, let's just read it and you'll see. It says, he wanted to know more about the 10 horns that were on its head and the other one that came up, causing three to be displaced. This horn had eyes and a mouth speaking haughty words, blasphemous words, and its appearance was greater than its fellows, that is, its comrades and everything that came before. Now, this is that false prophet. Many people see that it's the false Messiah. Verse 21, he says, I had watched as the horn waged war with the holy ones that was prevailing over them until the one of the ancient days came and the supreme ones were granted justice and the time came for the holy ones to inherit the kingdom. Now, what Daniel is speaking of here in Daniel chapter 7 verses 21 and 22 is basically the same thing we see when we learn, and you can turn there if you'd like, back to the book of Revelation, to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. It says, and we read it already, these shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them, he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So we see here, when we look at verses 21 and 22, this transition of power where this fourth empire. This seventh and eighth one, according to the book of Revelation, is going to be defeated by the holy ones that it waged war with. And God is going to bring about this transfer of power and the establishment of his kingdom. Verse 23, back in Daniel chapter 7. This is what he said. The fourth beast, there will be a fourth kingdom on earth, which is different from all kingdoms. It will devour the entire earth, trample it, and crumble it. And the ten horns from the kingdom, ten kings will arise. Another one will arise after these, and he will be different from the former ones, and he will humble three kings. He will speak words against the Supreme One, that is blasphemy. He will exalt the holy Supreme Ones, and he will plan to alter its seasons, its laws, and they will be given over into his hands until a time, times, and a half time. A time is 1 year. A times in the plural is a dual, which means 2 years. So you have a times and a time. You have a time and a times, which is 1 plus 2 or 3, and a half time, which is 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days. And this is going to be very important when we look at Daniel chapter 12 and understanding the time and the days that he gives us. So we're speaking about a time, 1 year, times in the plural, 2 years, and a half time, 1 plus 2 is 3 plus 1/2 is 3.5, 42 months, 1,260 days is what he's speaking of. And he is going to rule for those 3.5 years. Then God, shortly thereafter, is going to begin his process of defeating him and bringing about the transition where the throne of God comes to earth. Notice what it says in verse 26. But judgment will be set, and they will take away his dominion to be annihilated and to be completely destroyed. And the kingship and the dominion and the grandeur of the kingdoms under all of heaven will be given to the holy supreme nation, that is Israel. So we see here in Daniel's prophecy that Israel is going to, which the world looks down on, the world is grossly against in its view of the conflicts that Israel has with its neighbors. It says here that Israel, this holy supreme nation, is going to be given dominion. And it tells us that its kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the rulers and nations will serve and obey. Why? Because Messiah is coming to Israel. Not to the United Nations, not to the White House, not to any other place, but to the holy city of Jerusalem, where the kingdom of God is going to be established. And it says, finally, in verse 28, until here is the end of the description. I, Daniel, my thoughts frightened me greatly, and my countenance changed, but I guarded this matter in my heart. Daniel saw a glimpse of the last days. He saw some of the battle that was going to take place. How this evil fourth empire, rooted in satanic power and satanic perspective, is going to come into its empire. It's going to destroy, it's going to trample, it's going to crush everything that does not agree with it. And that's a time that we're going to become familiar with, known from an Israel standpoint of Jacob's trial. And from a book of Revelation standpoint for believers, is going to be what we see in the fifth and sixth seals, where we see persecution, not God's wrath, but satanic persecution that is going to be poured out upon believers, those who walk according to the teachings and faith of Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. And that's going to be what Daniel saw that bewildered him, that upset him to see God's people being abused and persecuted. But that's what the future has for us. Yes, God has not predestined us for wrath, His wrath, but we see that there's going to be a great time of persecution. And it's the same type of persecution that we learn the principles to overcome it. Remember what Messiah told His disciples. He said they will come against you, they will divide you, they will set family members against you, and some will be given up to death. But not a hair on your heads will be lost. What He says here basically is this. You may have to go through the same type of experience as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and be thrown into that burning fiery furnace. But even in the midst of intense persecution, He is able to protect us. Even if we should lose our life, as He says in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, even if we lose our life, it's like not even a hair on our head is harmed. Because our emphasis is not upon our physical well-being, our physical body, but it's upon our spiritual walk with God. And as long as we humble ourselves and listen to His voice, and that's why the book of Revelation says over and over in speaking to the seven congregations, He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. As long as we are walking in spiritual truth, we have nothing to fear. Our God will cause us to overcome all things. And the book of Revelation and the book that we're studying today, Daniel, is the source to give us the wisdom to reveal to us the events in the future. So when we see these things happening, we do not panic, but rather we move forward in faith and assurance of exactly what God promised us. And that is, it says, and the kingship and the dominion and the grandeur of the kingdoms all under heaven will be given to the holy supreme nation. And His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers and nations will serve and obey it. And that's why He tells us all the way back in Genesis 12, He who blesses Israel will be blessed, and he who curses Israel will be cursed. We need to understand that the Messiah of God, is the King of Israel, the future King of Israel. And the nation that we need to be part of, the nation is Israel. Not necessarily the Israel today, but the Israel that's coming, but the land is the same. And we need to make our decisions and our perspectives based upon spiritual, biblical truth and not under the deceit that we're hearing from the world. Well, let's conclude now this seventh chapter of the book of Daniel and prepare ourselves as we now are just beginning our understanding of prophecy in the book of Daniel.